Welcome in another episode of That's
So Cincinnati.
Jason Williams, Sherry Coolidge, Silent Phil. We are back and we are in the middle of a huge news story this week, Sherry. Whew. I seem to recall us discussing on Monday. I'll let the listeners know. You and I were sitting at our desk musing about how it seemed a little quiet right now, and I think the B word, boring, was even potentially...
Oh my God, I forgot about that, but with that, I did say that.
...thrown around. And now, about 24 hours later, things have been... got unboring really quickly, and now we've been sprinting ever since... Tuesday morning, mid-morning on Tuesday morning as we're recording a little later because of this big news story. If you haven't heard, Tamaya Dennard being arrested on federal charges of wire fraud, bribery, and extortion. And
basically, she is accused of attempting to exchange her votes for money.
For money, yes.
Which is just absolutely the darkest cloud that can be put over City Hall.
Absolutely.
Of just the idea that things are not free from influence.
I mean, just a level of corruption. I haven't really dug into the deep, deep history to see the obviously we all know about Boss Cox and the issues around that and that era. But to see a specific council member of this kind of corruption, or at least alleged corruption, I don't know when that last time was. Have you been able to kind of dig into the history yet of, and it, I mean, to me, at least in the modern day of city council, this is unprecedented.
Absolutely. Like that this just doesn't happen to see something like this. There's nothing to compare this to. And I'm just using that as a blanket sentence. That's true.
Yeah. Sherry, you know, there's so much talk and we've written so many stories. Thanks so much for reading on Cincinnati.com and columns and news stories and plenty more to come. I think one thing right now, as we kind of look ahead, as we're recording here on Wednesday, what came out earlier today was that Tamaya Dennard will have a decision next week on whether she's going to resign or not. That statement came from her lawyer, which came an hour or so or a little bit after the Hamilton County Democratic Party chairwoman, Gwen McFarland, said if the allegations are true, she needs to step down.
You know, the mayor, I have to say. So I think that's the main. So, we hear all these allegations yesterday. I encourage everyone to read our stories. It is drama filled. It involves the bank's music venue, which we talk about often on this show. And that all is still a deal that's in flux, even if we don't write about it every day. It involved a local lawyer. He's wearing a wire. He records her. It's an affidavit. It's an arrest on charges. So there's still more to come. This is just really the first step of things. And I should say also, everything about this story, unprecedented. The idea, I mean, she got arrested when she was going into a Starbucks yesterday morning. And she ended up appearing in court in leg shackles. And to me, like a councilwoman on a white collar crime, like everything about this has been drama filled, really, from just the minute we heard about it yesterday. I was my child is sick, continuing on in the idea that everybody on this podcast is sick all the time. I was working from home at my kitchen table when I heard this was going down, and I was like, oh my goodness. And so that a lot of details yesterday. Today, then, of course, we have city council. She did not show up, but this is when we really started hearing the voices in the community. Now, Jason, you had a voice yourself with your column in which you said, tell us.
I basically detailed that it's not that easy just to say resign and she can leave. There's no recall provision in the city charter. There are some state laws that can lead to suspension, but the issue with that is suspension, she would still be under state law. She would still be paid, would be a paid suspension, still get her salary and benefits. And then there's some debate. I've talked to three or four attorneys in the state and locally, and there's some debate on whether a local judge could step in and replace the seat. And so there's not, it's not real clear cut.
That's a very frustrating thing right now, that the charter of the city, which is supposed to be the good government charter, and we're better than the state law, and we do everything, you know, really just at the highest levels of transparency, is just, it's absolute chaos of how this is all going to go. And, you know, we're also seeing this a little bit with Amy Murray's seat. She is in a much, you know, calmer way. She is resigning to take a job with the Trump administration, and they're in the midst of replacing her seat. There's lots of backroom drama, and I don't want to get away from really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. Like, there's these designees are appointed to replace her. But how much say does she have? And, you know, how does that process work? Can they just walk in and say, this is who we want? And it's just not really spelled out. And if anything comes out of this, I would really like to see some clarity put into the charter about who can serve and, like, these accountability things.
Yes.
Which we've been, you know, really talking a lot about. Missed meetings. There's no accountability for, like, how you show up, who's excused, who's not. I mean, these people, they need to be accountable in very much the way that you're accountable for a real job. Like, I can't just not come in and the editors are like, whatever. Like, that's not how it works.
Oh, like, you don't have a deal worked out like that?
I don't. And so anyway, so that kind of that you talked about that in your column. And then we saw today, it's the first really strong statements, the Democratic Party from Gwen McFarland herself, you know, did call for her to resign if this is true. But the mayor, too, spoke from the city at city council today, and I thought he might say something. But, you know, he said he added something like he was the same thing, right? That if, you know, this is true, she should resign. He took the added step. It really made me think that if this isn't true, he called upon her to explain why this isn't true, because citizens shouldn't really have to wait and, you know, have this cloud over council. And I thought that was a really, you know, interesting thing. This affidavit is, it seems everybody is innocent until proven guilty. But I mean, it talks about recordings and it's like these conversations that are in it. And it doesn't, I mean, it seems very, very firm about what happened. And so I liked that the mayor kind of,
I thought the mayor
that
was really on point, and I thought that was good for the mayor of this city to speak directly to the public and use that platform from the dais to say what he said. I thought that was, you know, a thumbs up to John Cranley for that. One thing I want to talk to you about, Sherry, this is such a fluid story right now. There's so many moving parts. One thing, now I think we can start to talk about this with the possibility of her resigning. And I think, that, like you said, that the lawyer's statement has said that we're going to have a decision next week whether she's staying or going. I take that as she's probably going to resign, but whatever. I think it's not too early to start to think about. No one's really talking about it, but you and I can talk about it.
People are talking about it.
Well, that's the insiders. I'm talking about the public, the people who matter the most, is who could replace Tamaya Dennard on city council. What are some of the names you're hearing?
You know, even before this, I've heard a very interesting name, because, of course, we've already been guessing who's going to run for council and who's filing for this and that, because it's in 2021. And we love to say on this podcast, and it is a true story, that's going to be here before we know it. And so a name that I heard a lot was, even before this, is Ryan Dupree. And she is somebody, you know, she's a female, which there's a lot of concern right now, including with Amy Murray's seat, about keeping this council diverse and making sure there are women on it. Because there's some, I have to say, the Republicans, they really put together a really good bench. 17 people applied for Amy Murray's seat. It's a diverse group of people. It's a very qualified group of people. If this is their bench for next time, I'm going to be impressed if these people actually run. And so there's a lot of good candidates there. And people are like, well, does it need to be a woman? Because there's only two women on council.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're seeing the second woman's seat come, you know, really into the conversation. And so I think that is the forefront of a little bit. So one of the people that I'm hearing is Ryan Dupree, and I don't know her personally.
Her dad is Bishop Dantley at Christ Emmanuel.
Christian Fellowship
in Walnut Hills. I know they did a lot of stuff with City Gospel Mission. I worked there, so that's I'm familiar with that church.
And so, and she works there, but like this is a very large church in our community with like full-time jobs. And it'll be interesting, you know, to see maybe if this kind of like puts her out there mm-hmm. and we get to know her a little bit.
And she's a name that I've heard of someone who's potentially looking to run anyway in 2021. Is that what you've heard as well?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yes. And so, you know, I think we should start with some of the known people. Kelly Prather, right? She's running for commission right now, but that's a name that she ran for council before. And I think that people would kind of like to see her in that role. She's really looking, you know, to be a leader in the community. And I think she sees both of these roles, commission and city council, as a way to help her community.
I would think something, if we were looking at familiar names, I would think some stronger candidates would be Cedric Denson, current state rep, who replaced Alicia Reese's seat in House District 33.
He comes up through City Hall.
He came up through City Hall.
Worked with Wendell.
He's worked on Wendell's in his office and on his campaign for a long time. I think Cedric would do a really good job as a council member. He's done a good job in the State House, obviously in the political minority as a Democrat in Columbus. But he and I have had some really good chats about some state budget stuff. I'm not going to bore anybody with that. But I think he would do a really good job. I think you would have to wonder, and especially—
On the subject of Cedric, I do think that when I'm looking at like who really should be some of these replacement people, I like the idea of people that have some experience inside City Hall on the third floor. There's all kind of different experiences when you're working for the city.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's going to be important with six seats, you know, expiring and, you know, possibly only two people. Then in the scenario that we're talking about, that leaves Jeff Pastor and Greg Landsman.
That's right.
Yep. To run again. And so people with experience, that's going to be helpful in like taking things forward. And I mean, council runs the city under the charter. They make all the budget decisions. This is a big job. We're talking about $1 billion with all the pass through money.
Yeah.
And so experience. So, I mean, Cedric has come up through that and understands the budget of the city.
I think another name, and I think it gives, depending on the timing here, I think the timing would fall about right if this scenario were to happen, is if Alicia Reese were to lose the primary against Connie Pilich for commissioner here on March 17th, does she become a top candidate to be appointed to this seat? I'm by no means saying she's going to lose that race, because that is a race where I'm telling you, people ask me every day, Sherry, and I tell them I have no idea who's going to win that between Connie Pilich and Alicia Reese. That is a blockbuster. That's two really strong candidates. That's a blockbuster local race, and I don't know who. What I'm saying is a potential scenario. I can't say. You know, I would, if it were the other way around, I can't say it, because Connie Pilich doesn't live in the city. So if Connie Pilich lost the commission race, you know, she wouldn't be up for it because she lives in Montgomery. But if Alicia Reese, who lives in Roselawn, were to lose that, does she become a candidate? I don't know. I'm throwing that name out there. You've got another name on your tip of your tongue. So,
Pastor Leslie Jones, she ran for council last time. You know, she really, I got to know her during that campaign. She cares a lot. I feel like she's very much in the spirit of Tamaya, with wanting to be a voice for the people's voice who's not always heard inside City Hall. She's a pastor. You know, a lot of people like her a lot. I think she would definitely be on the show.
Pastor Leslie Jones, my former boss.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No. I should call her and we could gossip about you.
I counseled when I was in college in 97, the summer of 97. I counseled a YMCA camp for Cincinnati youth. It was a residential camp. It was all summer. And it was out in Felicity, Ohio, which is out in Claremont County. And it's out in the boonies. But it was this really cool, I don't even know if it's still there or not. Really, really cool campground with dorms and all that stuff, or, you know, not dorms, but lodging kind of places. And it was, what an experience. And Leslie Jones was the director of the camp, and she was my boss. I was a counselor.
Oh, wow.
And I got to know her and her son, who's now like shoot, he's probably 30 years old now. I ran into her on the council campaign. She was telling me all about him. But that's Leslie Jones, who I can't remember where she finished last time, but she was endorsed by the Democratic Party last time. And certainly she would be someone I think would be in line for that.
And you know who else? And we have seen her a lot in council chambers lately. Carolyn Jones.
President of the school board. Yep.
And, you know, she has come out strong. You know, it used to be very like a separation of church and state. Schools are doing this and the city's doing this. But the whole idea of the agreement with the developers and making sure the school payments get made whole with renewing this agreement about development, Carolyn has come over to city council and she has not minced words lately in which she spoke up for her students. And I feel like she'd be a very strong voice for families.
Yep. I think she's done a good job on the
be able to integrate the school board really more into council, and everybody could be working together even more than they are now, although I have seen a lot of cooperation lately between the two, which is kind of like a new exciting path, I feel like. But it will be interesting to see.
Is it real or fake?
I think it's real.
Sorry, I caught you off guard with that one. I just wanted to ask the question.
No,
I didn't really expect an answer.
I do think it's real, and it's not something that we've given a lot of coverage to because it's that behind the scenes, you know, kind of stuff that's happening. It'll be interesting. I mean, with this deal in place. I mean, you know what a bedrock of good schools is? We're going to talk about a bedrock of a good city. We're going to talk about a little bit in a minute, a good bus system, and you have to have good schools.
Yep.
You know, and we're off to such a good start with Preschool Promise here. Those numbers are amazing of all the things that we're seeing from, you know, what really taxpayers stepped up to make sure that children have preschool in this city. And good public schools are important.
Absolutely. Another name, speaking of public schools, he's now a former school board member. But I think Ozzie Davis would be someone that would be considered for an open seat on city council as well. Your thoughts on Ozzie,
Avondale resident. He is a beloved figure
yes,
in City Hall. And, you know, kind of, you know, when we talked about Pete Whitty last week, you know, really kind of being the godfather of West Price Hill, I think we really see that in Avondale. When Ozzie speaks in Avondale, you know, people listen. And in the city, he's very respected. And that's kind of a voice that would be very similar to Tamiya's as well. And so I could see people going in that direction.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that.
He's a mentor to a lot of young men in
yes,
our city,
is.
Too.
Yes,
you
he
see
is.
That.
He's someone who has really rolled up his sleeves and really understands the issues in the city. And not only, you know, he's been in tune to politics, but he's also been out working with people. And for several years, and did I think he used to be? I don't think he used to work for the Neighborhood Development Corporation. I'm drawing a blank on what the name of it is. So the work that he did through that, he got to really see a lot of the development, the good and the bad and the ugly of development in this city. Work he's done with youth. I know he's been a long time. He's very, very involved with AAU basketball and you know, working with kids through that. So. You're right. A beloved figure in this city, and another person who ran for council last time and was endorsed by the Democratic Party. That was his, I believe, it was his first time to ever run for public office.
So I do feel like, and I think we should mention Michelle Dillingham too. She, you know, that was like that 238 votes separated her and Jeff Pastor. And so she's probably on that list, too. These are like known people. So the Democrats, I mean, it is, you know, it's a Democratic stronghold in the city, of course. And so this list, it's going to be really tough. It's this other list that to replace Amy Murray. That's such a surprisingly strong list of people who are going to want to run for a Republican seat, which those are notoriously tough seats to win. And so that list was such a surprise. It was like has a lot of unknowns on it or people you didn't ever think were going to say, I want to run for council and really be involved. And so that's been an interesting process to watch. But these are a lot of like known quantities who've been around and done things in the city. And so good luck to the people who have to pick. And I will say at this point, P.G. Sittenfeld is the person who has that tough job, but that could change at any minute.
Yeah, he's the designee for Tamaya Denard. And I saw the list of all the council members' designees today. I guess it doesn't matter. Like, he's the only Tamaya Denard is the only council member who has one designee. Everyone else has two or more designees. It doesn't matter. Like, you can
have
one.
I have to say,
or
I was surprised that Greg Landsman was not on the list. I mean, when you sign up to pick your designees,
happens right after you're swearing in. Right there in your first week of council, I believe.
I mean, those two were very close as we were kind of getting things off the ground. You saw them talking about a lot of the same things and working on the same initiatives. And when somebody asked me who it was, I just said it was Landsman. And then I was like, oh, I guess I should have been more informed. Yeah. And actually looked at the list and it was PG.
Well, good stuff. We'll be staying all over this story. And I think that we will be revisiting this list potentially pretty soon. That's just totally my gut feeling on this whole thing. I think today's news of the party coming out and saying, basically, we want you to step down, I think really, you know, shows that there is no support there for you from the political infrastructure in this town, or at least officially not. And that, I think, that maybe signals the exit for Tamaya Denard from city council. Anyway, let's switch gears. And,
there's an election coming up.
There is an election coming up. And I know in light of what's happened in the last few days at City Hall, this is a big issue. And it's issue seven. And that is the transportation levy coming up here on the ballot on March 17th. Which will a sales tax increase, which will give money to both the bus system and to roads and bridges, to fix roads and bridges. And there's no one better to talk about this than the senior vice president from the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber,
sort of board member,
and someone who's been involved in politics in this town for over two decades, former aide to former Mayor Charlie Lucan. Brendan, I'm like sitting here all saying all about him. I forgot to say his name, Brendan Call. And let's jump to Brendan now, and we're going to bring him on and talk issue seven. All right, special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I'm pleased to welcome on to the what we call the hot seat. It's not hot, though. Brendan Call, vice president of the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber. Senior vice president?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Also, one of the
gurus. We knew him when.
One of the gurus behind issue seven, which is the transportation levy coming up here on the March ballot. And Brendan has been doing a ton of work on that campaign and put it all together, and all the work that it's taken over the last, probably over a year, years. Brendan is on the SORTA board. I guess that's a key thing here in this as well. So, welcome, Brendan.
Hey, thanks, Jason, Sherry. I'm delighted to be here. Long-time listener, first-time guest.
Oh, how many signs are there for issue seven? Do you know? Because you can't drive anywhere in this county without seeing a yard sign for issue seven.
I love that. Taylor Liggins is our campaign manager. She's incredible. She's everywhere. We've ordered thousands of yard signs, so I'm glad that they're all out. It is fun, you know. I've done campaigns for a long time, but never really been this intimately involved in an issue campaign. But it's been a lot of fun to watch this big, huge coalition develop, and then people get excited about, hey, can I have a yard sign for issue seven? And you're like, yeah, that's awesome. Sure.
Here, I'll let me get one out of my trunk.
Is that how
that works?
If you want one, I can swing around right now.
A lot of energy. I'm seeing a lot of this is a bipartisan effort here. A lot of energy on social media. I'm seeing people out and about taking pictures, out campaigning. As Sherry mentioned, this is me personally. of any of the issues or candidates on the ballot here in March on either side of the coin, I've seen more issue 7-yard signs than I have for any other candidate or issue. What's your elevator speech when people say, "What the heck is issue 7, Brendan?" What's your elevator speech?
I mean, the short version is issue 7 is will fix roads, bridges, and our bus system in Hamilton County. And it's important to people for many different reasons. It's important to the person who drives across the Western Hills Viaduct, or worse yet, rides underneath the Western Hills Viaduct, and then they know that we need to fix that broken piece of infrastructure. It's important to the person who wants to get a good job at the airport or wants to get a good job on the other side of Hamilton County and can't catch a bus to get there because we don't have enough crosstown routes or we don't have enough 24-hour routes. And it's also important to the person who just drives a car. I canvassed in Forest Park this weekend, and I was talking to a lady on a cul-de-sac, and she was out washing her car. It was a nice Saturday. And I talked about issue 7. I said, this is going to fix our roads and fix the bridges and improve the bus system in Hamilton County. And she said, we need to fix the roads. She said, I screwed up my front end on my car. And she was proud of her car. She was out there washing it. And she said, I screwed up the front end of my car. And I called down in Hamilton County. I said, you got to do something about these roads because it cost me $1,100 to fix the front end of my car. Now, for somebody who has an $1,100 unplanned expense to fix their car because they hit a pothole because this county isn't taking care of the roads, this is an important issue. And she was like, absolutely, I'm voting for issue 7. And so that's the speech. This is about investing in our county. It's about our infrastructure. It's about our transportation system. I love this place. I mean, I love this community. And if you like your house, you take care of it. And if you like your community, you take care of it. And if you – I drove on Hamilton Avenue last night. Has anyone driven on Hamilton Avenue lately?
It's awful.
Oh, my gosh. You think it's paved with gravel. And so this is going to help us fix those roads.
A 0.8% sales tax increase on the ballot. If you work in the city of Cincinnati, though, you would get a – if this passes, you then – would get a your earnings tax would be cut, and the trade off there is that currently the city earnings tax helps to foot the bill for the bus system, and that would go away, and then it would be replaced by this sales tax increase. About $100 million a year for buses and about $30 million a year for infrastructure. I have a question on the infrastructure side.
Real quick on the tax thing, though. If you live or work in the city of Cincinnati, this is and you make more than $20,000 a year. Live or work in the city of Cincinnati, and you make more than $20,000 a year, this is a tax cut. You can vote for this, and it is a tax cut for you. And that's the lion's share of people. And it's because almost half of the sales tax is paid for by people who don't live in Hamilton County. So we're going to share the burden of fixing our roads and bridges and the bus system with people who are coming in from out of town, who are tourists, who are funding the sales tax. That's the way every other county in Ohio and really every other county in the country, for the most part, funds their systems.
No doubt. You talk about bipartisan efforts. I mean, the business community's behind this. You got folks from John Cranley, P.G. Sittenfeld on
Jeff
the
Pastor.
Democratic side, on the right, on the Republican side. You've got, I was going to say Dusty Rhodes, but he's a Democrat.
Bill Sykes, Dusty
Jeff
Rhodes.
Pastor. I think Tom Brinkman was involved helping out at one point. I know he's not.
He was involved earlier.
He's not officially endorsed, but yes. I want to ask you about the infrastructure piece. That's a little known board that would now manage that money. Can you talk about that process? How will it be decided what that money spent on? Will there be a system that the local governments in Hamilton County can appeal to this board and say, hey, we want $10 million for our road out in Harrison? Yep. Or how is that going to work?
It's called little known. And, you know, as somebody who reads the, you know, the papers, and I have a critical eye on everything that I look at, little known should not equal something that we are skeptical of, because it's little known because it works so well.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because I didn't mean it yet.
No. And we have an engineer in this county, an elected engineer who's been a Republican. Eric Beck is going to be the new engineer, and he's running unopposed. Ted Hubbard is the engineer before that. Before that, it was Bill Brayshaw. And they run this organization called the Hamilton County Integrating Committee. Mm-hmm. And it's made up of representatives. It makes Sherry's eyes just glazed over when I said it.
Someday I'm going to remember the name of this committee. I feel like I'm probably going to have to cover it from time to time going forward.
Yes, you're going to be there. We're going to make it hot.
HCIC.
The Hamilton County Integrated Committee.
Oh, you're giving it a nickname. Okay.
Please, no. has, I think, 13 members. But here's what's cool about it is it includes people from townships. It includes people from small municipalities, not just the city. Some from the city of Cincinnati and some from the county. And they are typically technical people. And they're people who understand, like they're directors of transportation or they're road and bridge people who are from the governments in those particular counties.
Not a board where politics is like
yes,
this overarching thing with everyone like, well, we want you to vote this way because of this and that. They're like, well, what roads are bad? Let's look at that.
Exactly. And they don't do it based on, I was out driving around and this one felt like it was bad. They have this complicated scoring system that the engineer's office puts together that says this project will qualify because it has the biggest need. And it will disregard whether or not there are a bunch of members of city council or Norwood City Council who say, I want this road done. It's about the need and it's about the projects that are important. Bill Seitz is the person who is the architect of this. And Bill Seitz is not somebody who tolerates a lot of dysfunction in government. And he did a great job making sure that this committee, which is sensible, countywide focused, and paying attention to transportation, will have the ability to steer this money in a way that makes good taxpayer sense.
I do want to say that there are so many entry points that you just went through to vote for this, and that's the sign of a good committee and something, and it really shows there's a need here. But the underlying issue here is our bus system, and I hate the idea that that gets lost because good cities, there's empirical evidence that good cities have good bus systems.
Absolutely.
And we're seeing really a transformation from cities like offering free ridership. That's where it's headed, like, because you're trying to get people to jobs. And, you know, for this conversation does start with the buses. For years, we have needed this fix in this county. And it's not just, you know, about who's riding the bus at that moment. It gets down to that. But when people want to come and bring jobs to our community, they're looking at the bus system. This
Absolutely.
Was a huge criteria for Amazon
Absolutely.
Choosing where it was going to put its headquarters. Yeah. And this area had, you know, a lot of issues with why they didn't choose us. But this was one of the reasons that they cited. And it has to be going forward. This is the kind of thing you do expect your leaders to address. So the next time some headquarters companies like, oh, we want to come here, well, are the same reasons there why the last one didn't come.
Yeah, for sure. Sherry, you're exactly right. The business community got involved in this from an economic development perspective, from a growth perspective, from a talent perspective. You know, Amazon, you know, we're excited about what's going to happen. We like to say we didn't get Amazon, right? That's the headline. But we really did get Amazon because what they're building at the airport with the Prime Air is going to transform
Huge.
This community. It's a generational economic development opportunity that goes beyond just what's at the airport. And we've got to be able to get people to jobs there. So if you live in Price Hill right now and you are in the middle class or you're in working class and you want to be able to go get a job at the airport, which are good jobs, which pay well, which have insurance, it will take you an hour and 45 minutes to get to the airport on a bus. And that's not right. That's not how you help people get into the middle class and get stable jobs and take care of their families. And so this system redesign that will come with funding the Metro bus system will add more 24-hour routes. It'll add more crosstown routes so that you don't have to go downtown every time. And it allows us to begin to build a regional transit system that gets people to jobs, because that's the system there is we've got I talk to hospital folks all the time, folks at the hospitals and doctors. People are missing doctor's appointments because they can't catch a bus to get to their hospital. And then you know what that does to the healthcare system? They wind up in the emergency room or they wind up caught. So we've got to be able to better connect our communities. And that's why, you know, you guys are – I think you guys are on Twitter, right?
Yeah. we don't ever talk about that.
You know my friend Cam Hardy.
Yes.
Has been front and center on this. And he was
– A bus rider.
You
know what? It's my favorite
face.
Kind of activism where it just is really organic. Mm-hmm. Like that he really became a spokesperson for this because he rides the bus.
Yep.
And he wasn't afraid to say what he was thinking.
And he held our feet to the fire and he said, design a good plan that will improve the experience for bus riders and make this a better county from a public transportation perspective. And believe me, you saw the stuff. He wasn't always my pal, you know. I've been called some names by my Cam. We are working in lockstep to deliver this plan because we put together a broad coalition that includes both public transit advocates and infrastructure.
And Randy Tucker one of our business reporters here, does have a story today where he really, you know, did a deep dive into the numbers and is showing that this is going to double ridership. And so that I thought there's a lot of good information in that story today. He's been on this levy for a couple weeks now with.
Yeah, he's been great.
All the details.
We're not growing because our service isn't where it needs to be. Like if you constantly cut service, which is what's basically happened to our system for the last 15 years since 2008, 12 years now. During the recession, it was just cut the service. And then so if you miss a bus and it's not going to come for another hour, it's not worth it to you. So that's why we have to have more frequency.
I mean, I commend you, the chamber and the Cincinnati Business Committee and so many others for, you know, really digging into this and finally looking for a solution. Because as you know, Brendan, study after study, independent studies that have been paid for by SORTA and the business community and even outside study. I remember this University of Minnesota study saying we were one of the worst in the country for getting people to jobs by our public transportation system. And you mentioned it earlier, you know, if you're someone who's trying to rise out of poverty, it's so right. I work for City Gospel Mission, homeless shelter, before I came to the Inquirer and covered transportation. I've always been of the belief that a way to really fight poverty is to have a robust and a strong public transportation system. And the cool thing about this is that this is really an all-encompassing initiative here, in that you're trying to help poor folks get the jobs. You're trying to help people who have jobs get the jobs that better,
young
easier.
Professionals who don't want cars
get roads fixed.
You know, people want to be on social media, and they're like, "You can't text and drive, but you can text and ride the bus."
Sit and look at their phone. It's amazing to me. You guys have done really great coverage here. This too, if you go back to go back all the way. Because this newspaper did a whole series on fixing the transportation problem. And I think it was a year-long effort.
It was,
Your editor, Burl, was a part of. And I think you both wrote parts of it. You had a whole column that was, here's what this community needs to do to fix the transportation system. And you went so far as to suggest people that we should be working with, many of whom are involved in it now. And so if you go back and you look at the history of this, as a community, we've been having this conversation for several years now. Yep. And then to be able to be now 20 days out, whenever this airs, 19 days out from the election with this big broad coalition feels pretty good. But we don't take anything for granted. And so we're on TV and we're putting up yard signs and we're canvassing and knocking on doors and doing everything we can to make sure people understand the full picture of this message.
Do you let yourself think what would happen if it doesn't pass?
I mean, I don't know if you've met me, but I worry occasionally, get a little anxious from time to time, as my friends know. We're really focused on, we are really focused on the message. And this is about, I've never worked with a campaign team that I feel like more comfortable with. Pete Metz, who you know, who's been out and about.
The chamber stole from City Hall.
Right, who is a brilliant tactician and understands transit in a way that nobody else in the community does.
That's great work.
Taylor Liggins is amazing. We've been working with Gary and Matt, the CBC. Jill Meyer is our president and CEO of the chamber. Her leadership driving this forward. Cam Hardy is part of our team. We've got, you know, passionate people in the community. We've got grassroots activists knocking on doors.
Neil Kelly, there's a
Neil Kelly and Heather Sturgill, who are two activists, particularly for the disabled community. This is going to expand access. They've been a part of this. So I feel, anytime I feel worried, I look around at our campaign team and I say, this is Jared Camaras, who many of you know, who's a brilliant mind when it comes to politics, has been working on this campaign. When I look around,
I feel like we can't let that hang out there. I feel like Jared's been a guest on the podcast,
and we have to agree.
Yes, brilliant mind on politics. Yeah. Like, we have to agree.
He knows what he's doing.
Yes, yes. Like, when I look around, I was like nodding my head. Yes, but people can't see that. Yes, absolutely.
When I look around,
Jared Camaras is awesome.
When I look around at these folks, I feel really good about the campaign that we're putting together. It is still a big issue. It is still something that is. Hamilton County has never done before. And so this will be a history-making effort if we get done. And so that's why it's, you know, pedal to the metal all the way to the end.
I think one of the brilliant, just from a political standpoint in this process, one of the brilliant moves I think you guys made was getting the endorsement from Dusty Rhodes, knowing how popular of a vote getter he has been for decades out in across this county. And his ads on the radio are really, yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, it's a good ad.
And he really focuses a lot on the
Like, isn't Dusty great? Like, he's a radio guy, right? So we're like, will you do a radio ad? And so we sent him a, you know, hey, here's a couple ideas about what you could say. And Dusty, I love Dusty. He goes, I'll just record it from my house. Because he's a radio guy. He's got a studio in his house. So he does the whole thing from his house and sends it to us as a clip, and we're off to the races.
You know,
we're
like, this is great. That's goals, Jason. We could put the podcast booths in our house. That's where we're headed.
That'd be awesome. You should have Dusty on the program.
Silent Phil nods his head. Yeah, we'll get that done, he says.
It's a great cast of people who've been a part of this. And, you know, we've had some laughs along the way. And I feel it is important to put out, because I think that you guys have both written about the streetcar over the years, too.
I know not what you speak of.
Not one penny of this levy will go to the streetcar. And I can't say it enough. No money for the streetcar. It says it in the ballot language. We've divorced Sorta from the streetcar. Sorta doesn't have anything to do with the streetcar anymore. That's all run by the city. So this is a if anybody has any qualms about the streetcar, and it's fine if they do, they should know that when they vote yes on issue 7, not one penny will go to the streetcar.
I mean, I think that does matter to some people.
Yeah.
You know, I've always seen this as a bus issue myself, and like what that really means for this community. But some people have taken it like, the streetcar is a very polarizing issue, and so I think that was an important the move for Sorta.
Right. I'll tell you what's – I think another thing that's been –
We don't want to get Jason started.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not going to get started on it. I think another thing that's been amazing in this whole process is there's been no real true organized opposition to it, which I think, you know, certainly there have been some individuals on Twitter and that kind of thing, but there's been no real robust – like we've seen on transportation levies and in the past.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk it up. I mean, I'll talk to anybody, and I'm going to some very conservative rooms. I have been to some very conservative rooms. I have no problem talking about this. I actually have presented this to a conservative group of funders. I think that for somebody who cares about conservative, judicious tax policy, they can vote yes on this and feel really good about themselves. It's reducing the earnings tax. It's a consumption tax in terms of a sales perspective, which a good portion of it which will be paid by people who don't live in Hamilton County. But I know there's going to be people who we won't be able to convince, but we just hope there's more people who understand the value of a robust transportation system.
Well, that's great stuff. And I think you know, I remember talking, you and I have talked, and you know, just to talk about wanting to do this, even I think where it was this even a couple years ago, there was talk like, and I think the fact that you guys stepped back, the Sorta board and the politicians all sort of stepped back and said, no, let's work to build a broader coalition. Let's work to get business community and Democrats and Republicans and bus riders and, you know, Cam Hardy and Neil Kelly, you know, folks just all encompassing to get, let's all get on board here together and let's go about this the right way, knowing the history.
One of the issues where the city and the county actually agrees.
That's a great point. That's great. Because that doesn't happen.
All three
a
county commissioners and most of city council, almost all city council saying they support it. So it's great.
And, you know, I think that's a credit to the work you've done.
Well,
there isn't really any robust opposition here because of taking a step back and building this broader coalition has been able to sort of get tentacles out there to keep opposition away because there are so many different people supporting it.
Pete and Taylor have just done, I mean, we, like 4 years ago, we went to Indianapolis and Columbus to see what they had done as part of a chamber trip 3 or 4 years ago, studied, and it was very clear building the broad coalition was, you weren't going to be able to do it without doing that. And then, you know, thanks to Mayor Cranley, because his work, this is really interesting, all the work that he's been doing with mayors across the country, I think has made our community so much better. You talk about the solar stuff. You talk about the Bloomberg connections. Eric Garcetti from LA, who's mayor of LA, came here and talked to us about how they did their infrastructure piece. And some of his resources through his groups helped us think about this the right way. And that made this plan even better because I think it's a broader approach to a transportation system. It matters more to people. So here's my question, since we're like
that's what this guests can ask questions.
I mean,
too.
I've got in front of me an article from the Cincinnati Enquirer from August 16th, 1973. And the headline is Springer, that would be Jerry Springer, leads city council in a bus takeover. Do you know this story? It used to be that we had a private bus system. And the day that the city passed its earnings tax essentially to fund the bus system and it became a public group, they had this big signing ceremony on the steps of City Hall. And Tom Lucan was there and Ted Berry was there. I mean, think about these names. And the city manager was a guy named Bob Turner. And they signed the paperwork to turn the bus system over to the city at the particular time. And Jerry Springer gets on the bus and drives it away with three council members on it and drives a Queen City Metro bus, which is what it was called at the time, and just starts joyriding through downtown Cincinnati. So here's my question is when we pass this thing,
are you going to drive the bus?
Who should we nominate to take a bus and go joyriding on it through downtown Cincinnati? You want to do it?
No, I was thinking more like Dusty or something
Dusty?
Like that.
Oh my gosh. Well, we can invite Jerry back to do it.
We can invite Jerry back to do it. That actually would be kind of fun. We could sell tickets to that thing.
Wasn't this really Tom Lucan? I love a good photo op.
You bring up Tom Lucan. Wasn't this really ultimately his vision for?
Yeah, I don't think Tom Tom was none too happy that Jerry, you know, I think stole the spotlight a little bit by driving off with the Metro bus. And I think Tom was on the bus when they drove off. The Enquirer has a really funny story about it where they were yelling at him and telling him to use the brake. So think about our.
But it was Tom. Wasn't it Tom Lucan's vision was to have a more robust countywide.
That was always the plan,
Transportation, public transportation system.
It was always intended to be funded by the county. I mean, we're the only city in Ohio that funds it this way. We could find very few cities across the country that are city inside of a larger county that funds it that way. This is just the better way to do it, what we're proposing with Issue 7.
Most importantly, I'm glad that you wore a puffy coat in the day.
I wore a puffer just for you.
Your Columbia puffer coat. Man after my own heart here. I think
it's a good look. You know what we need? Paging Greg Lansman.
Councilman Greg Lansman would be very proud of both of us as well.
Pete's got a puffer.
Oh my goodness.
We could have a – yeah, exactly. It's great.
Is there a website people can go to or where should people check out like to get more information on Issue 7?
Yeah, check it out at moveforwardcincy.com. There's a ton of stuff on Facebook and social media. All our campaign stuff is there. And if you want a yard sign, visit the website and send us a note, and we'll drop it off to you.
March 17th.
That's like a holiday. Do you know what I mean? Like the idea of an election, St. Patrick's Day on the same day. I mean,
Early voting has already started in case people are busy on St. Patrick's
Day. That's exactly right. Go vote now.
I was invited to the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick.
Are you going to do it?
No. The person who invited me, I'm like, that's election
night. Kind of a busy day.
And got mad at me for like turning it down. I'm like, what? Anyway,
it's kind of a busy day. I'll drink a Guinness for you.
Early voting is going on right now. All the best to you. Thanks for coming in. This is great stuff.
Tons of fun.
Appreciate it, Brendan. Appreciate what you're doing. All right. Thanks again to Brendan Cole. Sherry, what's your final thought on our discussion with Brendan?
You know, we really stuck to a lot of the very important topics coming up with this levy. I feel like we need to have him back because you said in the introduction, you know, he used to work for Charlie Lucan and he has a million old City Hall stories and we just didn't go there. And I'm good with staying on the very serious topic of that today, but those stories are super fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I had him on my radio show on 700 WLW, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we talked about, I wish we had time to talk to him about this today because it's some really funny stuff and it's great radio. But back in the day when Willie would call up and just randomly dial up the mayor's office and he would just start having fun with whoever answered the phone. And Brendan was one of those people who would answer Willie's call. And then they would just start bantering about whatever's going on. And my favorite recollection of Willie calling up was, I don't know if you remember this, Sherry, but there was a cow that got loose. It was in early 2000s.
I do remember.
And Willie nicknamed the cow Charlene Mookin because the mayor at the time was Charlie Lucan. And so he nicknames the cow Charlene Mookin. And Brendan was on to talk about that on the radio. And it was fun stuff. So
it was a little bit looser. You could be, it was just a different time. I mean, the mayor's, there's not like locked doors to the mayor's office. You had to not worry about security as much. You could just walk in, sit down and just, you know, and Charlie was always willing to, you know, chat up anybody who kind of came through, and it was very open and just different time, though.
Absolutely. So our So Retro Cincinnati moment of the week goes to Charlene Mookin. I assume Charlene is no longer with us. That was, shoot, going on 20 years ago, right? Daggone.
Yeah.
What else do we want to talk about? What is our
So Cincinnati
moment of the week, Sherry?
I mean, I have to say, I was in my own little, you know, covering city council world yesterday, but I couldn't help but notice some real Joe Burrow news. The rumors have been running rampant about him, and I have been reading them all. I don't mind on Twitter and Facebook. You know, did he sign a jersey? How big are his hands? What did he say? Who's his girlfriend? Where is she eating? Like, I'm good. We'll follow the minutia right down the path. But yesterday, it was sit-down time, and he said it. He likes Cincinnati. And
Hallelujah.
So that was a nice definitive statement yesterday.
He said that was nothing that ever came from him. All this stuff that he didn't, there was so many rumors that he didn't want to come here and didn't want to be drafted by a crappy team and all that. He said that never, ever, ever came from him or his camp. And that was the national media speculating completely on that. And so he's basically said he's open to being drafted by the Bengals and would welcome coming to Cincinnati. Thank God we put that to rest.
No, I agree. And you can always, when you hear something from somebody themselves, that's what really matters. Not absolutely. All these rumors. And
we had all that. And Silent Phil was actually there for it. He is back from the NFL Combine, which is where that press conference took place. Silent Phil and our Bengals beat writer Tyler Dragon were right there all over it. Check out that stuff, their video and all that on Cincinnati.com under our Bengals tab, I believe, or just under sports. Anyway, make sure you check out our subscriptions. People were awesome about that, and the digital subscriptions continue to go up and up and up, and people continue to support local journalism and can't thank you enough. I know I end like every other show with that, but I'm sincerely saying thank you because I know so many of you are so engaged in local news and local politics, local current events, local sports, local journalism, and your subscribers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sherry, you look like you want to say the last word here.
No, I'm good.
Anyway, thanks so much, and we'll chat at you next week.